Being the big vinyl lover that I am, I'm proud to tell you about Joe's Albums in their two locations. The original shop at 317 Main Street in downtown Worcester, Massachusetts, and their second location out in Western Mass at 5 Market Street, Northampton. Both of these shops are loaded with both new and used vinyl. It's hard to walk in either shop and walk out empty-handed due to their amazing collection of records and other cool goodies like t-shirts, mugs, posters, etc. If you can't find what you're looking for in the retail stores, check out their website, joesalbums.com. Thank you, Joe, for being so cool. Welcome to Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico. I'm your host, Steve Ricardo. We're bringing you the indie pop today. We started the show off with new music from the self-titled album out this month on Don Giovanni Records, Bad Bad Hats, with the song My Heart, Your Heart. One of the group's co-pilots, singer-songwriter Kerry Alexander, is on the show today to talk about their new album, which she refers to as Four. Why not, since it's the band's fourth studio album? Oh, and did we mention Bad Bad Habits is from Minneapolis, which is further proof that our love affair with the Minneapolis scene is still in full gear. When you do a Google search for the greatest bands to come from Minneapolis, 12 artists initially come up. That's not many, but in this case, it's the quality that counts. We know that both Prince and Bob Dylan are from Minnesota, but did you know that Robert Allen Zimmerman didn't become Bob Dylan until he moved from the mining town of Hibbing to Minneapolis to attend college for just 1 year before going to New York? It's true. And Prince was born right in Minneapolis and even settled down in the suburbs of Minneapolis for most of his life. Then you have two of the greatest bands to emerge from the underground scene in The Replacements and Husker Du, each prolific in their own way. Soul Asylum had a nice run, and we love Babes in Toyland around here, especially Lori Barbero, who is one of this podcast's all-time great guests. These days, it's all about Lizzo, and we can't talk about Minneapolis without mentioning The Time. And of course, two of its members, former members, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, who were instrumental in Janet Jackson's career. I had the great honor of meeting those two producers at an A&M get-together back in the 90s. Met Janet too, by the way, but she's not from Minneapolis, but that's okay. Well, I got one more for you. Motion City Soundtrack. Love that band. So yes, Minneapolis has a proven track record, so we're happy that Kerry Alexander is following in the footsteps of Lori Barbero, Husker Du's Greg Norton, Cyndi Lawson, and a couple of modern cool bands, the Scrunchies and Loki's Folly, excuse me, as guests on this very podcast. All right, let's get to it then. Here I am with Kerry Alexander from Bad Bad Hats. Welcome to those of you watching on YouTube. This is Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico. I'm your host, Steve Ricardo. If you want to hear this entire episode with intros, outros, and music, please go to Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, etc. Please welcome to the show, Kerry Alexander.
Hello.
Hi, Kerry.
How's it going?
Good, good.
Good.
I want to talk to you about your new self-titled album that's coming out. But I was hoping for my listeners we could go back in a little bit of time because I want to
Absolutely.
check out. There's a few questions. Like, first of all, you grew up the early part of your life in Birmingham, Alabama.
I did.
I don't get to talk to too many people from Birmingham. So, what was it
Sure.
like growing up there?
It was. I had a great childhood there, honestly. But it was sort of, I was born in Minnesota, where I
Oh.
am now. But I moved when I was like 5, so I don't really remember my Minnesota time. But I did sort of have a sense growing up in Alabama that I wasn't a Southern girl. I was like from the North. And my parents are like from my mom's from Buffalo, New York, and my dad like grew up in like kind of all over the place, like military baby. So yeah, but it was, I mean, I was in this great neighborhood and went to a really small school. I think Birmingham, it is just like a really beautiful city because it's like at the bottom of the like Appalachian Mountains, so it's very like hilly and green and has all these like nice like little villages. But I also like, you know, I grew up in sort of like a fairly like privileged household. So I think I had a different experience of Alabama than maybe some other people would have. But I did enjoy my childhood there, yeah.
Was it due to the fact that your father was in the military that you ended up moving a lot?
Oh no, sorry, my grandpa was in the military. But yes, we did move for my parents' work. They were actually in they're in public health. Worked at universities, so we moved. So
Oh,
my dad got a job at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, and
nice.
he really would. He did not like the Minnesota cold, so I think he was very excited to go to Alabama. I think my mom was less excited at the time, but she came to really, really love it.
Kind of an extreme. You get the really humid Alabama and the really cold. I mean, I've been to both places, so I
Yes,
know.
totally.
So, and you moved to Florida when you were like a late teenager?
Yeah, between my freshman and sophomore year of high school, which is a really
Ooh.
horrible time to move, but we made it work.
Were you bummed out that you had to leave your friends in one high school and go to another?
I was, especially because my first year of high school in Birmingham was at an art school, at the Alabama School of Fine Arts. And it was like, you know, like the fame high school, like all the ballet dancers in the cafeteria and the art kids like splashing paint against the canvases, and you could hear like instruments in the halls, and I was like, oh, like I found my people, like this is my
Yeah.
place, and then we left.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Did you start listening to music when you were really young, and do you remember what you first started listening to?
Yeah. Well, so like I think like a lot of musicians, like I grew up in a musical household. So like my parents were always playing CDs. Like they would listen to music whenever they like made dinner. My mom had like a 5-disc CD changer that she used a lot. And my mom is a violist. And plays piano, so she really encouraged us to like play instruments when we were young. A family friend made a series of mixtapes for my mom before I was born, and they were all color coded, and the pink 80s tape was my favorite tape when I was like a toddler, and I have distinct memories of really enjoying those songs. And so it was It Takes Two was on there, Raw Bass. Give It Away, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Burning Down the House, was on there. Didn't I Bring Your Love Down by Yaz. That was maybe my favorite song on
Wow,
the
it's
tape.
amazing you can remember the songs.
Yes, it was a great tape. And like some of those songs are my, like my earliest memories of music. So I think the decade of the 80s.
Yazoo, Alison Moyet, right?
I think
Yes.
so, yeah.
Yeah. Did you start playing guitar at an early age?
But I guess fairly early. Yeah, I took violin lessons when I was young
Oh,
because my mom,
violin.
yeah, because my mom was like wanted my sister and I to take some kind of lessons, and I took piano lessons as well. And I was in like the youth orchestra, but at some point I stopped wanting to do that, and I would be like in the back of the orchestra, like just like pretending to play, like hovering over the strings. Because it really stressed me out. So I think I started learning guitar around like 13 was when I sort of switched over to that.
But you didn't play in any bands or anything until you got to college, right?
Yeah, Bad Bad Hats is my first band. Yeah.
It's your only band, right?
Yeah.
I thought so.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have asked you this before because I didn't know you were born in Minneapolis, or Minnesota, but is that
Yeah.
why you went back to school in Minnesota?
Yeah, I think it's like well, I was looking for like a small liberal arts college, and so McAllister, where I ended up, like fit the bill really well. But then I think also the added draw of like, oh, going back to Minnesota, like that sounds fun.
Were you like aware of the music scene there, you know, like Replacements, Babes in Toyland, Husker Du, all those bands that came from that area? Was that anything you?
Honestly, no. Like Prince was like the only person I
Prince.
knew. And I get that Bob Dylan had like the early Minnesota connection. But that's pretty much all I knew. Yeah, I was not aware of the scene really until I was there in college, and I worked for like the college radio station. So we were playing a lot of stuff. And then Bob Mould went to McAllister as well. So I also knew the McAllister connect.
It's you know, I'm in based in Boston, but I interview a lot of people, you know, a lot of Boston people, but a lot of LA and New York, but Dennis, Minnesota. I've had like Laurie from Babes in Toyland, Craig
Yeah.
Norton from Husker Du was on,
Totally.
Loki's Folly, this new young band,
Yeah.
Cindy Lawson, who was like a legend there. You know, it's weird that I get all these Minnesota people. I like.
Absolutely. It's a great spot for music, honestly.
Yeah, when I worked for labels years ago, I remember going to First Avenue and 7th Street Entry and hanging out there in
Totally.
the middle of the winter. Ooh.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm from New England, so I can handle
Oh
it.
yeah, you can handle it.
So you met Chris at in
Yes.
school, and I imagine you guys must have hit it off right away.
Yes, Chris is our New England person. He's from Connecticut.
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
Yes. So yes, we it's a small school, so we like knew of each other. But really the thing I think that did it was we both were like writing and recording music on our own. And at the time, you put that music on MySpace.com.
Yeah.
So we had our little demos up on MySpace, and we discovered that each other's pages. We're checking out what they're doing. And yeah, just
Was that after you met each other, or did you discover the music first?
I think we had not really like hung, like we had met each other, but like we hadn't really been like hanging out. Because I think one of my friends was like, I was in Chris's like dorm room, and he said he really liked your songs on MySpace. I was like, he did? Like, I think I know that guy. And so then, of course, if someone says they like your music, you're interested. And so I started listening to his, but then pretty quickly he became friends with one of my best friends, and so then we started hanging out more and more. And yeah, pretty quickly, well, like pretty quickly we started dating, and then also we like from early on we're like we knew that we were going to make music in some way together. But that took like a we studied abroad at different times. So we had like a year to give each other mix CDs back and forth, sort of share our influences and our inspirations and sort of talk. And then our senior year, then it was go time.
And you mentioned you worked for the college radio station. I did that
Yeah.
too. That's a great. Was Chris involved with the radio station as well?
He had a show. He did not work for the station, but he did have a show like almost every semester, I think.
You worked at the station?
Yes, I was a general manager.
Oh, I was a music director at mine.
Nice.
I love college radio.
Me too.
There was a time where everything was based around college radio. Unfortunately, it's not like that anymore, but
Term, yeah.
maybe for a band like you, it still is, though, because I can
Yeah,
see
sure. Yeah.
college. Yeah, you guys are definitely a college radio band. When you started playing together and you came up with I just read about
Yeah.
this
Yeah.
week, the book
Yes.
Madeline.
Madeline, yep.
Madeline, sorry.
No, you're
So
good.
tell me how that all happened.
Well, sometimes you just do things and you don't really remember why you did them. But the Madeline Children's books are something I read when I was young. There's a book called Madeline and the Bad Hat. And the Bad Hat is kind of like a troublemaker in the story. And I don't remember why it was like on my mind when we were picking band names, but at the time I was really into it, and that's just like what we went with. But like I think it was just because it was like at top of mind, and we were like, yeah, that'll be good. But yeah, yes, many years of explaining. That's not really about hats, but
Oh, good, because I was
we
hoping
will
you didn't mind my Vans hat that I'm
no,
wearing here.
but we will sell you a hat if you want one. Yeah.
Oh, you have hats?
We
Cool.
do.
Of course you do. You had a Noah was your first bass
Yes,
player,
yes.
and but he wasn't in the band very long, though, was he?
Well, I guess in the grand scheme of things, he was in the band for like about 6 years.
Oh, 6 years. Okay. All right.
And from the early days. So yeah, with the three of us, that's kind of how it started, because Chris and I knew we wanted to write music together, and we were like, okay, I think we need to play some shows. We need to like get out there. And like we're sitting in the campus center, like trying to figure this out. And Noah just walks up to us and is like, hey guys, like, guess what? I bought a bass today. And Chris and I are like, S-s-s-s-s. Like we need to convince this guy to be in our band because he's got a bass and he's right here. And yeah, and then we're like, practice every Monday and Wednesday for many years and started playing local gigs. And so the band started in 2012. We did our first tour in 2015. But yes, Noah's last show was 2018. He went to grad school.
Yeah, I forgot that he had played on Psychic Reader. Sorry about that.
No,
I got
you're
my
good.
year. So w the early shows in Minneapolis, Saint Paul, Minneapolis, for people who don't know,
Yeah.
they're right next to
Yes.
each other.
They are,
Did
yeah.
you do the whole club scene in that area, or did you
Yeah.
expand out of the area as well?
Yeah, those early years we played, almost every venue in the Twin Cities. oftentimes multiple times in a week, which our friends were exhausted by. They're like, we can't keep coming to these shows. But it's good. You gotta get your reps in. But then we play like a ski lodge in like northern Minnesota and like a block party in like, rural Illinois, and starting to inch out, starting to go to like the Midwest ring. We had played some Duluth shows, Midwest Music Fest. But then yeah, we hadn't really played anywhere, I think, outside of Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois until 2015.
Loading in and loading out of clubs in the middle of the winter in Minneapolis must be a real blast.
Yeah, it's you definitely need gloves. Like, for a while we didn't have a bag for our the drum hardware, and grasping that cold metal is not the best experience.
Wow. Now, I know you had some demos, but It Hurts EP was the record
Yeah.
that a lot of people started finding. And I love that video on the ice rink.
Yes.
With the cause
Also a very cold experience.
you guys really like kazoos. I know that you've done a
Yes.
lot of stuff with kazoos.
Yeah.
So in between that EP and the Psychic Reader record, did you
Yeah.
feel like something was building there where you're getting to the point where did It Hurts do really well on college radio? Because I know Psychic Reader did, but did it start off for you with the EP, or did it?
I feel like it's kind of hard, funny, like trying to remember, but I remember like, 'cause we just had so much confidence and we're so excited, and I remember when It Hurts came out, I was ready to like be on a rocket ship to the moon. I was like, here we go, like my stardom is like starting now. And then being like, I remember being like a little disappointed by like, oh, like we're actually just still a band that needs to like play shows and put in the work and do the thing. But I do think that It Hurts was did do well, and like did bring a lot of like cool experiences for us. We got played on the local radio for the first time. That was really big. And I know we got to play a bunch of like little fests and stuff in the Twin Cities. So it did do something for us, but it did not. I was just like, thought for sure we're gonna blow up right away. But yes, I do think Psychic Reader was more of the thing that brought us to a larger audience and got more press and that kind of thing. Yeah, that was
College
the sort of,
radio too really took off on that one.
yeah, totally.
I'm gonna jump ahead here a little bit. I
Sure.
know you put the Lightning Round record out in 2009. You guys have some good records.
Thank you.
And I just said I wanted to just mention that I like the piano version of
Oh,
Automatic from The
yes.
Wide. I really liked your last record is when I really got more into the band,
Cool.
Walkman. I have to ask you about the lyrics to the song Walkman, because this morning I went through them again a couple times, and I'm still not really sure
Yeah.
what's going on there.
What's going on? Yeah, for sure. Just like in general. Should we go through them?
Well, just that.
Yeah.
Well, no, the title track, I mean, the title
Yes,
track,
sure.
Heavy Metal, and
Yes. I think I was well, so I had a Walkman branded CD player when I was young, that I really enjoyed. So I was thinking about my CD player that I bring on like family trips and stuff, and I was just thinking about like how music, so I made a lot of mix CDs in my day and received a lot of mix CDs in my day, and I love sort of the experience of a song. It's like cliche, but like the way a song just like connects you right back to like a time and place and like a person too, if like just like like that was our song. And so I just that's sort of what was on my mind. So like My Love Is a Place When You're Next to Me, felt like my way of saying like the way a music, like hearing a certain song, just like puts you right in a place and sort of gives like a love story, sort of like a tangible like thing you can hold on to. So yeah, and then just some rhymes and some rhythm, and you got a song.
I'm really into lyrics, so I always have to
Yeah.
ask about the lyrics. And the
Yes,
same
for
thing with
sure.
De same thing with Detroit basketball. You know, that would
Yes.
jumped off the page at me.
Yes.
And cool video. You guys make really good videos too. I was
Thank you.
gonna.
We're working on one today, actually, later today.
And you just had a video just come out,
Yes.
like yesterday, I think, right?
Yeah.
Detroit basketball. I mean, what's going on?
So that one started with the line, got a good job in a senior position, then I threw a party and cried in the kitchen. It started there. I thought that was pretty funny. That made me laugh. And then basically I just made a list of words that rhymed with those words. And then kind of like went through and tried to like, get to the rhyme. And one of the rhymes I wrote down was Pistons, which I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna include piston in a song. But then I was thinking about, we went on tour with a band called the Front Bottoms, and they went to a Pistons game before our show. And at Detroit Pistons games, they do this like call and response thing that's like Detroit
Yeah.
basketball.
Wow.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yes. And so all throughout the show, like the front bottoms kept doing that all night, but we didn't know what it was. We're like, why do they keep doing that? It's so funny. So I was Pistons, and I was like, in my head, I was like, oh yeah, Detroit basketball. So then I was like, oh, I gotta include the Detroit Pistons in here somehow.
Wow. Okay, I wasn't sure if you're a basketball fan or what, but now I know I get it. That's really
Yeah.
funny.
Yeah.
What when was that you were on tour with them that you heard
That was
that?
2017.
Oh, so you remembered it from that far and
Oh yeah.
brought it up to the. Wow,
Absolutely.
that's great. So now you know I just moved along pretty quickly. So,
Oh yeah,
Don
sure.
Giovanni, how did you get involved with Don Giovanni?
How did we? I think that we it was through actually our publicist, Sarah, who we've worked with on every release we've done. After Lightning Round, that was with our old label Afternoon Records, who's like local, like pretty small label. And they were great. Like in some ways that was cool because it was basically just like one guy and us. So like, good like student teacher ratio. But it just was so small, and our friend Ian, who ran it, was had like another job, and it was just sort of like becoming not a functioning label anymore. So before Walkman, we knew we wanted to find a different label and pitched to a few different places. But I think Sarah was like, I think my friend Joe from Don Giovanni would really like this. And I think she emailed him, and it just was like a happenstance thing. He teaches music classes, like music business classes at Drexel. And like in his class, like the week before Sarah emailed him, like a student had used Baba Hats as like an example. So he had like just heard our song and was like, oh yeah, like I heard their song in class last week. So then I think it was like, the connection was made.
Are they a Philadelphia-based label? Because you
They
mentioned
are.
Drexel. Oh, okay. I
They
didn't
are,
know that. I
yeah.
thought they were New York.
I
Wow.
think they started in New Jersey, but
Close enough
then
to
now they're in
close
Philly.
enough
Yeah.
to Philly.
Yeah.
Have you guys toured up and down the East Coast a lot? I know you played at I remember one time you played at the Sinclair in Cambridge.
We played there a couple times, I think. Yeah, we've been I think the last time we were in Boston, we were at Paradise, which is one
Which
of our
room do you like
favorites.
better? Because those are both kind of cool rooms.
They are cool. We've honestly, like, the Boston venues, like, always kind of come, like, are some of our favorites. Like, the Sinclair is really nice. It's kind of big. I guess that's the only, like, sometimes it's like can feel maybe like not as full as you want it to, but like it always sounds great, and like the staff there are super nice, and like we're always like really taken care of and like fed really nice meals and stuff. So that's great. And Paradise, also the people are really nice. But something about Paradise, like the couple times we played there, just like feels really great on stage. Just like it just like feels like rock and roll or something. Sometimes it can be tough to like because we have like earplugs in and stuff to try to protect ourselves for the future. So sometimes it can be hard to kind of like feel the energy, but something about Paradise, it's always like we're always like really feeling the vibes.
Yeah, that's a really well. It's right near BU. I mean, you must have got a lot of college radio play in Boston. Do you think that had a lot to do with your success there?
Yeah, maybe for sure. Yeah, definitely could be. Yeah, we've always had a pretty good time in Boston, like pretty good showing. I guess where else have we played?
How about New York? Oh, go ahead if you had a.
No, I was just trying to think. I know there's some other venue in Boston that we played a few times.
The Middle East?
No, I guess there's like a B maybe.
There's a lot of venues
I
in
know.
Boston.
Oh, Brighton
Oh,
Music
the
Hall.
Brighton Hall, Brighton Music Hall. Yeah, I was
Yes.
just there. That's a little, it's a little smaller than the Paradise, but around the same size. Yeah, that makes
Yes.
sense.
Yes,
Definitely.
Brighton, we played there a couple times. That's been nice as well.
What about New York and Philly and DC and the other cities on the East Coast?
Yes, all those are some of I think we've played most of those cities 10 plus times.
Wow.
I have my map behind me with all my the pins. That's the places we played. And the places we played 10 times get the golden pin. So I think that those are all golden pin cities. So yeah, we just played there enough times that we always get a good showing in all those places. DC especially. I don't know what it is about DC, but that's usually where we get some of our best turnout.
Are you guys popular on the West Coast too?
Yes, we played the West Coast less often than the East Coast, but we always do pretty well in Seattle and Portland and LA and
Portland, yeah.
all the big coastal cities. Yeah.
I can see that about you guys in the Pacific Northwest, definitely. So I've heard some of the songs on the new record. What can we expect, you know? From, I mean, is it similar to Walkman, or do you think you're going in a more poppier direction, maybe?
Yeah, I do feel like parts of it are similar to Walkman. I think certainly like one big aspect is that Walkman and LP4 are the same personnel, in that these are the first two that it's been Chris and myself and our friend Con Davison, who played drums in the band for a long time. He has since left the band, but those two records were the three of us making them. So I think in that way there is like some continuity in the like arranging and sort of like the ideas and just how we all work together, and like Khan's drumming is very distinct. But I do think that LP4 is a little dancier, maybe for lack of a better word, than Walkman is a little more like bopping and like a little more like a little like less serious in tone, maybe. Not that Walkman is very serious. I mean, Detroit Basketball is a silly song, but I think the ratio of silly songs to more serious songs is there are more silly songs on LP4 than on Walkman.
I
Yeah.
like how you're referring it to it as LP4, the
Yes.
self-titled record.
Yes.
Well, you guys are definitely clowning around a lot because I
Yeah.
was going to talk to you about the TPA video. But
Yes.
by the way, if you ever Googled strip mall with a nail salon, if you want to see something funny, Google that, because I
Okay.
did
Okay.
that the other day thinking I forgot the song was TPA. I don't know why I had the strip mall
Yeah, that's the hook. That's what sticks with
So
you.
I Googled it, and wow, all these
Okay.
brawls in strip mall
Oh.
nail salons came. It's
Oh
like,
my gosh, I had
what?
no idea.
It's a funny video. You guys,
Okay. Yes, thank you.
someone said that was one of your parents in the video. Is that true?
Yes, that's my mom and my stepdad.
How did you get them to do it? They were great.
Well, my mom, like me, is a bit of a ham, so she wasn't too hard to convince. I think that we sort of surprised my stepdad. We actually like were in Tampa just for there for Thanksgiving anyway, and we were starting to like get all these cameras together, and he's like, "What are we doing again?" I was like, "Oh God, no one told Terry what we're doing." But he's also like a really good sport, so he was down to help.
Did you guys shoot that yourselves?
Yeah, just on like our iPhones.
Really good. That's
Thank
really,
you.
really good. Wow.
Yeah,
And
but then we had our friend who does video stuff help us like color it and do that kind of stuff.
editing. Yeah, you had
Yeah.
help with the edit. Yeah, well, that
Yeah.
makes sense. That was
Yeah.
really well done. That was not an overnight thing. It probably took a lot of work to do the editing on that. So that's a silly song. And you mentioned that there were going to be some silly songs on the record.
Yes.
And I know My Heart, Your Heart, I just watched it this morning because it just came out yesterday.
It did.
Great power pop song. I mean, you
Thank
guys
you.
really can, you can change your pace at times and get a little heavy, not heavier, but heavier, but not heavy, heavy, you know?
Yeah.
And so you don't really, you're not trying to stylistically go in one direction. You're going wherever you're feeling. You write all the lyrics and the music too, or just the lyrics?
I mean, definitely all the lyrics. Usually I write at least like the, what I refer to as the open mic night version. So I write like the lyrics, the vocal melody, the chord progression, you know, so I could play the whole song for you that way. That's usually what I always do. And then I bring it to the band and they help me come up with like the bass parts and the drums and help me like arrange the rest.
Do you like present it with an acoustic version, or is that how you do it? Or do you play, how do you present the song to them?
Yeah, I feel like usually it is usually like an acoustic version. Like when we start to record, we'll do like a scratch take where I just play acoustic guitar or the electric guitar and sing through. So we have that like in the session. And then we can kind of like build it up. And then it's usually like, okay, do drums and figure out that way. So yeah, it is usually like that. Though there have been a few times like on this record, our third single actually, Bored in the Summer. That one I actually did more of in like GarageBand before I sent it to the group. So that one I had written a little synth part and I'd written like a basic bass part, but Chris wrote a better bass part later. But so sometimes I will have something with like a little bit more information. But yeah.
Now, what's your plan once the record comes out in, I think, 3 weeks or something?
I know, it's really coming up. Well, we will be playing lots of shows. We will be coming to the East Coast. I forget what, I think we're in Boston on the 13th, maybe.
Of April?
Of May.
Oh, May. Are you doing a headlining tour?
We are, yes.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so we'll be headlining starting in early May. We are going to do like a little like a on the day the record comes out. We did this with Walkman. We're going to do like a little like in-store session at a record store called the Electric Fetus in the Twin Cities Institution.
Famous record store.
So super fun. So it's just like very intimate, like small crowd, and we're going to play through the record and sign. They have like a special version of the record. It's a special color. So we'll do that. But then yeah, tour starts May 3rd. We'll be on the East Coast, in the Midwest, and then we're gonna go play in UK and Europe for the very first time. So that'll be really exciting.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I have to ask you about Electric Fetus because that store has been there forever.
Yeah.
It's the same location still?
Yep, I think so. As far as I know. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, long before you got to Minneapolis, I think that store was probably there as far back as the '80s, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe the '70s. It has a storied past and a great spot. That's like, you know, we used to live fairly near there, so we'd go pretty often to flip through the records, do some shopping.
Do you collect vinyl yourself?
We do. We've slowed down a little bit because we ran out of room. Because also my like mom was like, "Oh, you like records? I'll give you my entire collection." Which is cool, but we don't have that much room. But yes, we do have a record player, and it's nice because we have like lots of old records and things we bought. But it's fun, like every tour we do, we, you know, get a record from the bands we either open for, bands who are opening for us, and get them autographs. We also have like a nice collection from our touring days.
Yeah, I'm a collector myself, and it's every time I have to move, it's like, oh boy, not again.
Yeah.
So what are you listening to these days?
Yeah, what are we listening to? I feel like it's kind of funny because we started doing like a Patreon, which is like part of the influence of the on the new record, where like every month we write a new song that's like inspired by a musical like prompt or theme. So like some of the early themes were like write a pop punk song, or like write a country song, or write a song like a interesting time signature. So like every month it's like, okay, like what are we gonna do now? So for instance, TPA, which came out. That was a Patreon song. That was our new wave song. But it's cool. But because of that, like, my brain, like, every single month, I'm like, over here, like, listening to country music. And then I'm like, whoa, over here, listening to pop punk music. So I think the last two themes we did were, I think we did, like, college rock. But that was cool. That's a nice array of music. And then we did, I think, like, Brit rock. So I was listening to, like, a lot of Brit rock recently. I really like, there's a band called Echo Belly, and they got a great song called, I think it's called Good Great Things. That song I really enjoy. I sort of like discover doing this that I'm like, oh yeah, like that's like my favorite genre of music. So when you said like power pop, I was like, I think recently I'm like, yeah, like power pop. I think that's like my favorite. Like anytime I look at a power pop playlist, I'm like, I love every one of these songs. So it's cool.
I think I read or saw in an interview somewhere that you were a Dolly Parton fan.
I am.
Did she influence you a lot when you were younger, or is it just something that's grown with you over the years?
Yeah, it's funny. I think that my introduction to Dolly Parton was her like bluegrass record that came out in like the 90s or early 2000s. That's like the one that was my parents would play all the time. So I'm not even sure I was really familiar. I think I knew Jolene, but I'm not sure I was really familiar with like the other stuff. But then yeah, just like as I got older, I think, you know, just relate to the blonde jokes and yeah, and she just, I also just love like her approach to songwriting. Like she really is like a true like craft of songwriting kind of songwriter, just like really enjoys the process. And so I think I just like love reading interviews with her about how she writes, and especially even I just read an interview about her like rock record that she just put out, and just the process that she took to like write the first like Dolly Parton rock and roll song. So yeah,
she's cool.
She is, yeah.
Is your Patreon patreon.com bad?
I think /badbadhats. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Because I wanted to plug that for you. Because I have a Patreon too. So it's
Oh, nice.
Patreon's
cool. Yes.
Good.
Yeah, it's awesome. Fun. Yeah. No, we're like 2 years into it now. So we got a lot of material in there.
Well, hey, good luck with the new record and
thank
tour.
You.
And maybe I'll see you when you come to Boston.
I hope you will. Yeah, we'll be there soon.
And thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
My pleasure. Thanks
All
for
right.
having me.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Strip mall with the nails alone. Strip mall with the nails alone. Strip rush, drive for paradise, but tempo will suffice. I won't stop till I'm 10, like a goddess, rocking like a closet, no point being modest.
Ooh, I'm on fire.
Bad, Bad Hats, TPA from the upcoming fourth album by the band Bad, Bad Hats. It's one of those bands you need to check out. Really interesting songs with cool lyrics, and it was awesome to have Carrie on the show today. If you want to reach out to me, you can write me anytime at twistedrico@gmail.com. If you're a musician or a songwriter and you have music, please send it. You might hear it here. Maybe you'll hear it on the Mirror Stars podcast, another podcast which I do for fun. If you can't get enough of me, you can always check that podcast out. Put 5 episodes up. The latest one was about the Neighborhoods, and they're a very popular band from Boston that I've talked about 297 times out of the first 300 shows. That might be an exaggeration, but it's close. We also have Instagram, Facebook, Threads, YouTube, where you can actually watch the Zoom interview I did with Carrie Alexander. And there's also a TikTok page at Twisted Rico, where you can watch clips from the show and other cool clips like footage of me watching bands and posting clips from their shows and things like that. Also, please consider supporting this podcast on our Patreon page, patreon.com/TwistedRico. Okay, that's going to do it for this time. Till the next time we say goodbye, this is Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico. I'm your host, Steve Ricardo. Keep the rock and roll alive.
Yes, this, hello, see, this is Gilbert Gottfried, and I was calling to see how you were, and how you were feeling, and things of that nature, because yes, I was giving Keith Bennett's phone to call you and to relay good greetings and tidings from the both of us. So yes, this is Gilbert, and we're wishing you well on a Saturday, so, goodbye. Yeah.